Good morning. We are going to be finishing up James that we have been on. However, it is my hope that it will draw our attention to the facts in it and that we should continue to implement the message in it. Now, our passage today is taken from James 5:7-20, as is shown there. Now, what we are going to hear is going to be on sickness, sin, persistence, there's going to be healing as well, and most of all, faith. Having faith in the ultimate God that created us. Now, starting from verse 7, be patient, sisters, brothers and sisters, unto the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Now, the book of James started with commanding all believers to count all struggles as joy. And now we are here in chapter 5, verse 7, where it is telling us about patience. I didn't get to check the meaning of patience in the dictionary, but my understanding of patience is being able to control oneself in the face of provocation, oppression, disrespect, exploitation, hunger, deprivation, delays, and so on. It is having the ability to stop oneself from exploding or even imploding. Being patient, particularly waiting on the Lord, is a Herculean task for me. I don't know about you. It is easier said by me to be done. It is easier said for me than to do it, than to be patient. Maybe if you ask my family, they would tell you how patient I am. Impatience, on the other hand, shows lack of perseverance, lack of tolerance. Impatience leads to fight and grumbling. In this particular day of, is it Instagram? We have instant grab an instant grub. I don't know whether some of you, we used to have a word grub, food. We want everything yesterday. Instead of cooking our food, we want to microwave it. And in fact, even messages or packages, we want express delivery. Well, it is good. However, an example of farmer giving to us here is because this was the trade, or this was the profession mostly practiced at that time. But this day, we have technology that has brought in AI, artificial intelligence, that is created by man to ease or to save time. But it is my prayer that this artificial intelligence is not going to take us out of our jobs, as it is already doing. It is still the same principle. Just like the example of the farmer that we are given in those days, today, it is the same thing. We need to wait for the autumn and spring rain. We need to have patience in whatever situation that we are in. Patience is about trusting God's ways, because He uses trouble for transportation, and He uses delays to propel us to bigger and better situations. Going on to verse 8 there, you too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. The Lord's coming is near. Who knows? Who knows when? Just as the Holy Ghost descended on the disciples, as we read last week in Acts chapter 2, the Lord's coming will be at a time no one expects. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 tells us that, speaking of the end times, which will not prove false, though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So be patient. Let's have patience. Let's wait on the Lord for whatever it is that is our need, because He knows it best. Going to verse 9, don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Well, I do grumble, and I keep praying that I don't grumble. No matter how much I pray about grumbling, about complaining, I tend to complain more. Why is it so? All because of the lack of patience, because of failed expectations, excessive expectations. It makes us grumble. And most times, it is about and to the people closest to us. There is a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. But why is it? Why is it so? Why is it that somebody that you are even more familiar with, that is the person that, why? And we are meant to be brothers and sisters. Despite our weaknesses, we have been accepted into the kingdom. Why grumble against each other? We are not grumbling against each other. It is not me grumbling against Riff, for example. It is grumbling against God. Because whatever situation that we are in at every moment, whatever delays we are experiencing, whatever ailment or issues that we are facing at any particular moment, God knows. And He uses such to strengthen us and to strengthen others. God wants us to distance ourselves from grumbling. As it is given to us in Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. We go on to verse 10. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Just as James stated in the opening of his book, be patient despite the struggles. And be hopeful and be joyful. And when we pray, we should be faithful. We are reminded in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Because we have seen that in the life of the Messiah, suffering is central to Christianity. We have seen that. It is actually, for example, I give you an example. I have not been to Nigeria for nearly 6 years. Why haven't I been there? Well, yes, it is true that I cannot afford it, but there is another reason. There is another reason also. Because of the insecurity. But why do I have to go to Nigeria? Because I have siblings there. I have some old friends there. But why haven't I gone? And what have we seen? What example did Jesus Christ give us? Despite the wickedness, despite the sin in this world, He still came down in the form of a man. suffered, died on the cross for you and I. Is that not example enough for us to be patient in our suffering? For us that accept Him as our Savior, to go out there and be example to others? First Thessalonians chapter 5:14 tells us that hard times of suffering call us to encourage one another, build each other up, and extend patience to all. Going to verse 11. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I tend to be very forgetful. Standing here, I am a living testimony for the so many good things that God has done for me that I can never ever finish counting. But I always forget. We are reminded here. Whatever we go through in life, in this world, we have a living God that is full of compassion, that will always bring us out stronger, better. When the disciples went through a storm on their way to Bethsaida, they were terrified. They thought they were going to perish. Who would not? Who would not be scared? But this is what James is telling us. Be patient. Look upon the Lord. They eventually landed in Gennesaret. My understanding of Gennesaret and then of Bethsaida, Gennesaret is a place of miracles, a place of abundant blessings. Which is a much better place than where they were originally going. Suffering is temporary. It has an end date. And just as we've seen in the case of Job, that has been mentioned to us here, Job 43, verse 12 says, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part." At the end of the day, Job was much, much better off. Because he solely depended on God. Going on to verse 12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. I see this as trying to impress people by swearing or saying that, oh yeah, I'm right. Or I'm desperate to belong to a group. Or, you know, trying to convince people that what I say is correct. Why must it be so? What example do we have from Jesus Christ? We need to let whatever we say be the right thing as children of God, because that is what God is. God is right. And if we are striving to be godly, let's speak godly. Let our yes be yes, and our no be no. We go on to 13. The prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Going on to 15, from that 13. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and point them with and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 tells us that we have been given authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm us. So as God's children, we have that power. Whatever situation we are in, is it sickness? Is it lack of food, lack of shelter? Is it whatever it is? We have been given the power to pray through it. Mark chapter 6, 13 says, the apostle anointed many that were sick and healed them. And this is a practice we have seen right from the time of Pentecost up to now. And we, who are brothers and sisters of Christ, we have also been given that authority to pray in faith. We have to learn to pray. believing and trusting in God's ways, even when we don't understand it. Matthew 18 also tells us that, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have the authority. Let's use it. I pray that I can use it. I have all that God given. Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Can you see that? So we have all this. We need to pray more. We need to be in the presence of God more. We need to actually give ourselves because we are His. He owns us. And we are told that even me, as evil as I am, know how to give good gifts to my children. How more will the Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, my Creator, with all this from the beginning of the Bible to the end, we are being told of the goodness of God. The goodness of God is so much that it's even beyond our imagination. So why not come to Him? Why not submit to Him and enjoy all this goodness? All we need to do is ask. And when we ask and do not receive, it is because we ask with wrong motives. I have so many things in front of me that I allow to blind me. And James 4:3 tells us that. But when we don't receive, yes, it is because what is the motive behind our asking? Is it actually for our good? Because God is always in for our good. Or is it because we want to show off? We need to pray fervently in faith, and God will always meet our needs. If Jesus, being the Son of God, was always praying, was always in the presence of the Father, why should I not be? And there is even more reason that I should be more in the presence of God, praying, asking, begging, more than Jesus. Jesus came, Jesus is God. He came down. And yet He was always praying in the presence of the Father. So I need to be we need to be. Always in the presence, we need to have that patience. We need to have that faith. Spend time with our God. We see in 1 Kings how Elijah prayed earnestly for the dying son of his widow host. And the son was revived. We see so much example from the Bible on God's answered prayers. So we need to faithfully do the same. Going on to verse 17, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Just as James said in chapter 4 about the motives for our prayer, we have it in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord will not have listened. And that was David. We need to put sin aside. We need to come to God in prayers, faithfully, patiently. And he will answer our prayer as he answered Elijah's. And you see, in Elijah's case, it was not a touch and go thing. Elijah persisted. We are even told in the passage that when Elijah prayed, he asked his assistant to go and check. He asked his assistant to go and check. The assistant now turned weatherman. And eventually, it rained. Because of Elijah's prayer, we can achieve the same thing as God's children. Going on to verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. From admonishing us to be joyful in our struggles, the beginning of James, we've come to the conclusion of his letter, where he is now encouraging us, you and I, to demonstrate patience, faith in God by praying earnestly in response to every circumstance. As we have the opportunity to save souls, we should therefore rescue those who have wandered away. Like in the case of Elijah, in Revelation 11:6, we are shown that God can empower us through our prayers to open and shut heavens. Ask and receive every good thing. a true faithful prayer. Every good thing, including healing. Employment, housing, food, and so on. Every good thing that we need. And also, our prayer, our faithful prayer, will empower us to lead the lost back to salvation. Philippians chapter 4:13 tells us that we can do all things through Him that strengthens us. So He didn't say some things. So whatever situation we are in, let's be patient. Let's persevere. Let's pray faithfully. And God will answer our prayers. And incidentally, we have some messages here that actually are so encouraging. Whatever situation we are in, rejoice in the Lord, always. We have hope. We have hope. And as we are experiencing God's goodness, let's pass it on. Amen.